Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 781. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, just the usual is going on here in the fine city of Columbus, but you know, things continue to be very interesting in the world of the WWE, and the latest curious situation definitely happened at the end of Raw this week. Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah end up winning the Women's Tag Team Championships. And not to put too fine of a point on just the win itself, the fact that Aaliyah outsmarted everyone to get the victory pinfall is something I did not see coming. How about yourself?
No, not see this coming. No, I would have bet the farm on Io and Dakota to win in decisive fashion, and I don't see why they didn't do that. There is nothing. There's no reason for this.
It's been really weird because they're like, they're not hyping Aaliyah and Raquel really as a tag team. They're like, for the last two matches, for the semifinals and the finals, Aaliyah gets taken out and is basically not there for large portions of the match. So Raquel Rodriguez has to sell, which is another issue that I wasn't really planning on getting to, but we could get to. So Raquel Rodriguez sells a lot, ends up becoming a one-woman army, essentially. And then, well, yeah, she won the match on SmackDown. And this was the one that kind of broke the streak of her being Superwoman within her own team. Like, this is one where the team dynamic is really, really strange. Like, and I know that they've mentioned that they were supposedly training partners or something like that, I feel like is the on-screen reason for them being together. They're not showing any chemistry, and what they're telling story-wise in the ring is anti-chemistry.
No, there's just, that entire SmackDown bracket was a dumpster fire from the beginning. Raquel and Aaliyah had never teamed together before, being put together for this tournament. They had zero chance to even hatch, even develop any chemistry. And they don't have chemistry. Aaliyah had one of the worst television matches I've seen in a long time last week. Raquel's no great shakes. It defies all logic, you know, going into this. And you know, once again, I made a comparison earlier. It's not one to one, but this is like Holler and Nash taking a pinfall loss 5 weeks into the NWO. Why would you do this?
Oh,
that would have been stupid. This is stupid. You're pushing this name, this group that still doesn't have officially have a name. You know, doing a really good job with them. You know, got them into a 3-versus-3 feud that people do care about, and no. Just everything about it. There's just no reason to have them lose to a makeshift team of two women who aren't over. And I don't know where you go from here. I mean, you're delaying the inevitable. I know that Dakota wasn't legal, and they established that. So I guess they can come back for a rematch and destroy them. But why delay the inevitable?
Uh-huh.
Why? And before Clash of the Castle, why make either of them, either Dakota or Rio, take a pinfall loss? I don't care who was legal or not. It doesn't make any sense. I guess I'm angry about it. Then actually went through it. I'm actually angrier about it than I thought I was. It's just like because it's just stupid. Like why? There's no upside to Raquel and Aaliyah as a team. You're not going. You know, great. So you know the only two teams that are over are Io and Dakota and Asuka and Alexa. You know, the SmackDown bracket with with Gigi and JC coming up and getting a win, and then Gigi getting hurt in the same match. That whole bracket was cursed. And now you give Raquel and Aaliyah the titles, but there's no way they can keep them long.
Yeah,
and if they just lose them to Io and Dakota, you're just delaying the inevitable for no reason, and you've given this new trio a loss on their record 5 days before Clash of the Castle. And oh my God, how it was all done with that slow jog the three of them are doing after Bayley.
Oh.
What was that?
It was like they wore their dress shoes out to specifically chase Bayley. It's just like, ladies, if you know that you're going to be in a chase, why don't you go with a little more sensible pair of shoes here?
I mean, but they were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Oh.
Because if Bianca got a full head of steam... she probably would have lapped Bayley twice.
She's probably a little too fast for her own good. Maybe Bianca just doesn't know how to go slow, and it was a completely foreign concept to her. Like, we're sorry, Bayley does not run as fast as you. Try not to act surprised here. So we're going to need you to dial it back about to half speed.
I mean, that is exactly what happened. That is the thing. That is exactly what happened.
Yeah, like...
Because there's no way that Bayley was going to get at enough speed not to be caught by any of them, let alone Bianca.
Oh man. I guess I was so shocked last night that I didn't think about why they shouldn't have done it. Like I was just shocked by the result. Like they have certainly, of all interesting things, I mean, they have been telling the Aaliyah is a bum kind of story for a while. And it makes sense for her to get a win at some point. But the, you know, newly minted women's championship isn't that time. You know, if you want to go that route, and I'm with you, like her singles match the other week was not good, so I'm not sure why you're rewarding this person anyway. I really hadn't thought about how much of a stumper this was in the new Triple H era. Like it's a weird decision that really doesn't jive with everything that was going on surrounding this situation.
No, it really shouldn't have main evented. What's going on? This is, we'll get into it maybe a little later. You know, Raw has improved tremendously. Raw, this was a very, very good show up until the last match. Really, it really was.
I didn't have a problem with the placement of it. Honestly, like it made sense to me after the result. Though I'm like, oh, what? Why didn't you do this earlier? That's when didn't make any sense to me for that to be in the main event.
Yeah, no. It just, it was just really, really, it's just really dumb. Like, you got something good with Bailey and company against Bianca and company, and it's really the, maybe other than Seth and Riddle, the biggest thing you have. So on Raw right now, so you really should have, that should have been protected. That six woman tag on Saturday should have been protected.
There's that, and I mean, even if you go back, and we still don't really have any really concrete proof of this, like, if Naomi and Sasha come back, I don't know how feuding with Raquel and Aaliyah benefits them either. Like, again, I understand that it's not anything official, but it still seems like they're kind of destined to come back, I think. So, like, having the championships on Sky and Kai makes a lot more sense for them to take on, especially since, you know, they can play the Bailey used to be our friend, but we know what kind of a backstabbing woman she is, or some shenanigans like that, you know? It's a real head scratcher of a decision in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So, yeah, looking at the Sasha Naomi factor, yes, they're going to come back and they're going to be huge baby faces, especially Sasha. The crowd is going to blow up. Can you eventually do something? You know, because have either of them play heel? Sure. That initial pop and that initial period, they're back, you're not really going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So why have the title on two baby faces? Once again, I'm actually assuming Io and Dakota are going to end up with the tag titles anyway in the not too distant future.
Oh.
But once again, why delay the inevitable? It makes no sense. I'm not saying I'm necessarily looking forward to the six woman on Saturday.
Oh.
But some people might, and it doesn't. It definitely takes away from, you know, anyone else who beats Bailey, Io, and Dakota. Now I'm fairly certain they're gonna win on Saturday, and it wouldn't surprise me if Bailey pins Bianca to set up a women's title match. But man, you really had something here. Like, you know, faction versus faction in wrestling always works.
Right. Yeah, and they have it going on, and obviously the women's tag team titles wouldn't have been on the line, but it gives, you know, what is it? Like, even, hold on, is the Raw audience any bigger than the NXT audience? I'm just trying to think of, my line of thinking was that both Dakota and Io aren't that well known. Like, it helps establish them more on the main roster crowd. And, you know, some of them, and I would guess kind of a decent chunk of live attendees, you know about their work. But still, not everyone does. And, yeah, you kind of need to have Bailey's, is it, I'm going to go with a lack of better terms, her heavies. You know, aren't they the kind of the hammer part of things? They should really get a big win. Real stumper here.
Yeah, you're right. You know, we couldn't make it past week five without them losing for the first time.
Yep. Not inexcusable would be a good choice of words there. I guess one of the other big headlines would be from Raw, the return of one Kurt Angle to our TVs, and he was involved in a good many segments this fine evening.
Yeah, it was really nice to see Kurt Angle. They definitely got the most out of him that they could. Gable was the absolute right person to have him interact with.
Oh,
the guy literally aping his rookie year act, practically.
Yes.
So, but no, they had good interplay. You know, you knew Kurt wasn't gonna get physical.
Oof.
So with the intervention of the Street Profits, you know, that was done well. Yes, the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy has been done a lot on Raw over the last year or so. But hell of a match. Gotta give it to him.
Like you said, overall, Raw is an improvement, and I think I was joking on Twitter when I said that all these matches seem to be bumped up by about 3 minutes on average. I don't know if it's quite that high. They definitely have pushed the match times, though, up at least by a few minutes, I would say, or by 2 minutes. And, yeah, it's kind of led to some interesting matches and some, you know, more laid out matches. And it's been pretty nice to see that happen. And, yeah, Gable and Otis with against the Street Profits, hey, all four of them are very good wrestlers. And I am not going to argue if I see a match between all of them for 12 to 15 minutes on a nearly weekly basis. yeah, so there was that. We got the, of course, the usual milk celebration, which was a lot of fun. And the Edge thing, lame or funny?
Yes, man. It was pretty funny, I guess. It didn't make me laugh out loud, but I got a little chuckle out of it. It was nice to see Edge and Kurt and Ray interact with each other.
Yeah. There is definitely... Honestly, I forgot how much history there was between Kurt and Edge. I just think... Because I haven't gone back to watch much of anything... I had kind of forgotten that there were a lot of big moments there that they had together. I was a little bit surprised. I'm like, was that Kurt Angle's entire WWE run? Was it against Edge?
they well, there was T-Mac where Edge and Edge and Christian and Kurt had a alliance. Then they wrestled each other numerous times over the years, and now they're friends again. Yes, no, it's yeah. They are. You know, Kurt Angle played a major role in Edge being taken seriously as a singles wrestler. Oh. Which is hilarious because Edge was wrestling, had been wrestling quite a bit longer than Kurt Angle at that point, but Kurt accelerated more than maybe anyone in wrestling history, of course.
It certainly helped, and Edge really was just kind of starting to get the main event persona rolling there for himself in that time period too. So yeah, Kurt Angle is unreal, and he's That's what happens when you do too much to your body sometimes. I guess I can leave it there. He looks a little rough for being 53. Although, good on him, he has abs, so I shouldn't should not make jest too much. The whole world of the WWE needs to watch out when they go to the parking lot now, because that is where all of the serious action happens these days. NXT's was lawless. It would appear that things have gotten lawless in the parking lot on the main roster here. What do you think of the Seth Rollins, Riddle stuff?
Yeah, you know what? It was once again they had an entertaining night. The brawl in the parking lot was probably the least of it. The that led right to the face to face, which again, very very stuff. And then the hot mic stuff with the two of them. Not something that would ever have happened in Vince McMahon's WWE. I will say that. In modern Vince McMahon's WWE, that something like that, you know, a creative way to get them together, then, you know, the segment is supposedly over, and then they just go in a incredibly unplanned, you know, vulgar tirade against each other, and yeah, no, that was all very, very good.
Yeah, it was a good series of events that they had going on for them, and yeah, that feud has really been built up quite well, and is obviously very personal at this point. Yeah. Seth Rollins going hot mic and is pretty ruthless, and there might be some people that start cheering him because of what route he decided to choose with that hot mic promo.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Seth's been on point for quite a while now. This feud definitely has a lot more heat to it than it did even a week before. So they've done a good job with this, and you know it's good. It's good. It's.
What do you think about Dexter Lumis continuing to be a terror in the Miz's life here? This time around, costing him a match against one Bobby Lashley.
Okay, were we supposed to see Dexter Lumis or not? I don't know. It's funny. This is very low level. This is a very kind of, you know, this is the place to do some comedy. You know, Miz seeing Loomis everywhere, explaining why Loomis is out and that Miz won't risk charges, so you know Loomis can still sneak into the building, and also sneak into the back of Miz's car. That was great. That was really funny.
Yeah, it is amazing how much you can do with a character who doesn't speak. Triple H has really found a way to get that man on TV. And honestly, I mean, I know that he's had some matches, but for the most part has kept him out of the ring. I mean, oof, there is
He doesn't need to be. He doesn't even ever need to be there.
that, well, yeah, I mean, he could be one of those R-Truth type people who ends up on the main roster for longer than you expect because he just fills a role.
Oh yeah, I think they can definitely. I don't know if it'll be our truth link, but I'm pretty sure they can find.
Well, I mean,
finally, with some stuff to do.
Would he have to wrestle in the WWE like another 20 years to like to kind of catch R-Truth at this point?
Oh yeah.
Whew, that'd be a lot of years. But of course, he'd be about as old as R-Truth is right now too. So it is. I suppose it's possible. But hey, it doesn't need to be that long. I have enjoyed his stuff. And the fact that he's also, it is kind of weird, like, on top of the fact of whether should we have seen him or not, is Dexter Lumis in NXT different than Dexter Lumis on the main roster? I'm not completely sure about this, and I'm not completely sure if Indy Hartwell is going to get a main roster call-up if Dexter Lumis is kind of mainly on the main roster.
Yeah. I'd like to see them do something with them together if they're going to if they're going to bring up Indy. But right now, Dexter's stalking the Miz, and seems to really enjoy himself.
Yeah, it's definitely off to a good start for his character on the main roster. Oh my god, are we finally going to see a Dominic Mysterio turn?
I'm fairly certain that, yes, that is exactly where we're going.
Wow. I just hope they pull the trigger this time. I don't quite... there isn't any logic to me that works. I mean, they tried to build up the disrespect angle this week on Raw. I'm not going to be buying it, though. So,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of the big problem.
It's time. It's time for Dominic to do this turn. And we'll see what happens. Because, man, the kid just doesn't have it. I've said it over and over again. This kid, he just doesn't have it. And it's never really going to get, maybe it was never going to get given the proper time to learn it either. And that's other people, and that would be other people's fault. But, yeah. You know, it seems like Ray's been fighting this for a while, using every pull he has creatively to get this next time after time. It's hilarious that after Vince is gone is when someone's putting their foot down and telling him, no, it's happening, stop.
Yeah, I mean, as great as Rey is, it feels like it was holding him back, you know?
Teaming with Dominic's actually was holding him back, but I mean, at this point in his career, I don't think, you know, he's pretty Teflon, so I don't think, I don't know if anything's necessarily holding him back.
Oh.
But I mean, I guess he'll be losing some kind of an anchor, although then he'll have to actually wrestle in a match.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, That part will be interesting for.
That'll be interesting to see. I mean, father versus son hasn't happened all that often in wrestling history. I mean, the most recent one was, of course, last week on an AEW Dynamite. But, yeah, not something that happens very often. It's actually hilarious that it would be happening so close together in two different companies. But this is the direction they want to go. I mean, the Judgment Day has been recruiting Dominic basically since the week after they booted out Edge.
Oh.
Wow. That's an equal trade right there. but no, they're gonna go through with this. It makes all the sense in the world that the final insult to Dominic's pride is Ray choosing someone else to be his partner over him, and he's already clashed with Edge and shoved him and after the miscommunication, and so he's already has negative feelings about Edge. Rhea Ripley has been whispering in his ear this whole time, and now I guess are they gonna explain that this was set up a while ago, or this is just a last minute decision on Dominic's part? Because man, if she really did beat him up in the locker room by herself and then carry his limp body to the stage, once again, things aren't looking great for the kid.
Yeah, like you said, like it, in some ways it almost needs to have been set up a long time ago. But if that is the case, yeah, he's kind of got, I don't know if you'd call it Stockholm Syndrome, but he has some type of thing for Rhea Ripley and her beating him up that he can't stay away from. Some type of line of masochism. Yeah, it's gonna be kind of interesting. I don't think that makes Judgment Day any more threatening. That group is things have not gone well for it, with or without Edge at this juncture. I think that maybe Damian Priest is a little bit better off with it. Still, that man had a match with Bad Bunny, so I'm not sure if he's any better off. Even.
He's had a pretty good run of things, all things considered. We'll see where they go. We'll see where they go after this. Because beyond feuding with Edge and Ray, I don't know if I see them going higher. I don't know if I see them, winning the feud in the end. And then what?
Oh. Yeah, they need some type of a mission statement, I guess, if they want to move on with their lives at some point. It's kind of weird, but they got time, I suppose. last man to talk about, I think, or last segment really to talk about on Raw, Kevin Owens coming out to confront the Usos and his old tag team partner and longtime nemesis, Sami Zayn.
Oh, this may have been the highlight of the show, all things considered. Just a really, really great segment. Kevin Owens laying everything out as far as his relationship with Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn with his, Jimmy likes him, kind of likes him. but Jay hates him. That's very funny. Laying down the groundwork for the seemingly an eventual babyface turn from Sami Zayn, and the somewhat sudden, recent sudden babyface turn of Kevin Owens after, you know, hospitalizing a man.
Yeah, it's been a pretty, now at this time, he spent more weeks as a babyface after injuring a man than being a heel.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You know, once again, Kevin Owens is one of the most versatile performers in the business. He can go face and heel at the drop of a hat. He can be a believable either. He can be a main event level babyface or heel. So once again, if Kevin Owens as the as that working man's baby face, that common man's baby face, yeah, you know, he does it as well as, well, okay. You know, maybe Dusty Rhodes and Steve Austin is a high bar to reach, but add that next level down. No one does it better than, no one can do it better than Kevin Owens. He proved that during the his Roman Reigns feud, during the Thunderdome era. So, yeah, Owens is definitely, you know, so yeah, and the crowd pops for him every time he comes out, so it's not like people are holding, injuring Ezekiel against him or anything. So, no, it's good stuff, you know, playing on the history of Owens and Zayn, making Sami Zayn, you know, doubt himself with the bloodline, give second thoughts to helping them in any way. Harm Kevin Owens, all really good stuff. Feel the moment where Sammy screws up something really, really important, and the bloodline beats him down, and either Owens makes the save, or, you know, they get Owens and Zayn together, and I'm feeling like, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to end up beating the Usos for those tag team titles.
Yeah, as you were talking about it, I'm like, yeah, I could really see, like, I mean, the Usos really have beaten just about everyone. I don't think they're dropping the tag team titles to the Viking Raiders.
No, and every other team being pushed right now that they haven't beaten already is a heel, is heel. Or kind of heel, I'm not even sure. I don't think it'll be hit and run. I think that, yeah, no, whenever we, who knows, maybe it's this weekend. Maybe Sammy screws up, and maybe Sammy costs Roman Reigns the Universal Heavyweight Championship. Yeah, you know, that would justify a very vicious beating in the mind of Roman Reigns and the Usos, for sure.
Yes, it would. Yeah, if you cost someone their championship, you should catch a beating. I'm not sure that, I would have a whole lot of sympathy for him. I am sure they will do their best to frame it as, is not really his fault, but no one cares, and so it's his fault anyway. Yeah, Sami Zayn, great. Kevin Owens, great. Usos, holy smokes. Those guys, they have, been quietly knocking it out of the park in the promo/segment department, too. I feel like I always mention, Roman Reigns being great in those things, but the Usos have done a great job playing their role in the recent past here, too.
Yeah,
we didn't miss anything else. Because there isn't really much more to say about Gargano and Theory, is there?
No. I mean, a nice little filler segment to keep them in on the show, remind people who Gargano is, and you know, put some heat in Theory. It was perfectly fine.
I guess we kick it back to SmackDown here then. Happy Corbin back on a losing streak. I don't think there's much to say about this one. Again, I think this is the match fixing average. Ricochet, Happy Corbin. The report I'm reading, 12:20 in match length. Definitely a couple of minutes more than Vince ever would have given that match.
Probably, and maybe someone right about that one, but it was fine. Just definitely showing the weakness of that SmackDown roster, that you have to stretch a match. You know, I'm actually seeing multiple ties with that between Ricochet and Corbin out for another 12 minutes to get through an episode of SmackDown. This SmackDown roster is still incredibly thin.
Yeah, because we had the double women's segment.
And there's really not much to say about that either, because, led to the women's tag team final, which we already talked about.
Yeah. It's another one where I'm scanning through this report. I'm going, man, there are a lot of segments on SmackDown right now. Because, I mean, we did have the confrontation between Sheamus and Gunther. That one was kind of fun. With them just staring at each other while their subordinates fought like cats and dogs. I mean, it definitely gave it a different vibe. But you kind of need that whole group dynamic on both sides to be able to pull this off. Although poor Ludwig Kaiser really could have used some help on his side. He could use some Giovanni Vinci up on the main roster, since he was kind of getting too on one during that segment.
Yeah. But no, that was a lot of fun. And, once again, Gunther and Sheamus, sign me up, I'm ready.
Yeah, you don't need to do a whole lot to hype that one up, but I did think that they did a good job of hyping that up with that segment. Like it was a fun and a little bit different way to hype a feud there, I thought. And we kind of did New Day and those guys. I guess the only other thing to talk about really is the Drew McIntyre beatdown then on SmackDown.
Oh yeah, they beat that man down. They laid waste to that man's back.
The picture on Raw, I'm like, that's a rough one. That is definitely a rough one.
Yeah, no, that was a very, very heavy beatdown angle to close SmackDown. I think that, we keep saying it, Drew McIntyre has the best shot of ending this Roman Reigns reign as anyone has had. Probably more than anyone else has had. Felt like there's a lot of momentum on his side going into Clash of the Castle.
And I mean, I know that Roman Reigns has gotten the better of people going into his matches previously and still won. This is a real ass kicking, though. And yeah, as much as I was kind of pro waiting for Cody Rhodes to come back to drop the championship, I guess that's the route that they're gonna go, unless it happens on this show on Saturday.
Yeah. This, I mean, this is it.
yeah.
Roman Reigns wins here. He's making it all the way to WrestleMania. There's no other real appropriate time.
Yeah, because I think that the only other challenger who would be on the list of I can buy into them building this guy up is Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some hurdles between here and there. But again, like, he could be the WrestleMania opponent, I suppose. If we're not already chalking that up for Cody Rhodes.
Oh, I think no matter, regardless of what happens, Cody's walking out of WrestleMania with the title.
Oh.
Whether it's a unified title or not, Cody's walking out of WrestleMania, you know, one night at WrestleMania with a major championship. But once again, that's then. This is now. I guess I also don't know where to go with McIntyre if he doesn't win this either. Because are they going to headline a pay per view? No, Roman Reigns is not scheduled for Extreme Rules. I reckon he's missed pay per views and they've made do before. But man, could you imagine if they tried to headline with Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross with no title at stake?
yeah, like I guess I don't even know what championship you put up for grabs. That I guess maybe you could do Bianca Bailey as a main event.
You could. You could close with that. Once again, that's the issue with this Roman Reigns, part time. They just don't have enough else going on to justify keeping this Undisputed Championship thing going.
No.
So if there's any way they can get out of it, maybe they'll find out a way as of Saturday, so that there could at least be another championship floating around. Roman Reigns gets to keep his Universal title reign going, or Raw just creates his own main championship out of thin air, if they have to do that, because Raw feels incomplete. Like, Raw is a really good show, but you can see how they're struggling with what to close each week, what to properly close the show with. They are missing a main men's champion. SmackDown's missing a lot of things on the mid and lower card, but they have Roman Reigns at least half the time.
Yeah, and they have the Usos to fill in when he's not there for the at least as something of his surrogate.
Yeah, it's 3 hours is hard enough, but 3 hours without that last major piece of the puzzle, I think it is the one biggest. It's maybe the biggest thing that's still hurting Raw, and it's you got a good women's division, fine. You got a blood feud like Seth and Riddle, great, but you still need, I think, that main men's championship regularly appearing in Raw, and Drew has basically promised to be the champion who will be on both shows every week.
Oh.
So, I think that, throughout history, it has been very commonplace for the babyface to live up to his promises.
It definitely give Drew that win in front of a crowd that he did not get at his WrestleMania.
No, he did not. He got to lose at WrestleMania in front of a crowd. Clean to a full Nelson. Tapped clean to a full Nelson. I know it's the Hurt Lock and Lashley's a special, but there's a reason no one had beaten anyone with a Phil Nelson in 25 years before that.
Oh, man. Yeah, what was was it, I'm trying to think, who was it, Hercules, and was it Billy Jack Haynes that Hercules had
Billy
the
Jack Haynes. Yes,
the Full Nelson contest?
And I also forgot about Chris Masters and the Master Lock. But they never let him beat anyone of significance with it either.
Yeah, and he never had a feud with someone else about their Full Nelson, I don't think.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of a little bit of a head scratcher there. Anywho, anything else to talk about? I mean, did you rampage it all this week?
I did not rampage it all this week. I might rampage this week since it's supposed to be live, and well, we'll see what they advertise heading into All Out Weekend. But no, I did not rampage this week.
I guess then, since we're here, are you planning on watching Clash at the Castle on time, after time?
As of this moment, I should be able to watch it on time, but that could change.
Yeah, I have an odd feeling that I will be somewhere drinking alcoholic beverages during this time. I'm definitely going to be doing that.
Oh, that's good.
Never mind. Well, because does it start at 1 o'clock Eastern?
Yes, it starts at 1 o'clock Eastern.
I would be able to watch the beginning, but we do have a soccer match this coming Saturday, and in actual attending live events wins out every time.
As of course.
To watching them on the Peacock Network, which I will surely do sometime this coming weekend. So yeah, it's an interesting card. To see what, you know, there should kind of be a lot of action going on one way or the other. Like, even if Roman Reigns does retain, like, it'll be interesting to see that reaction from that crowd. If that happens. So that will be a little bit of a bummer to not watch live. But I definitely know that the main event is going to be off my menu. I might be able to watch some undercard matches there. So probably a later thing for me, though, I would imagine. Anything else then, wrestling-wise, outside of WWE worth talking about this week?
No, I think we can head out.
Okie doke, bell time beer for this evening. My younger brother got it for me. It's from the Dancing Gnome in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's the Hori Hori, and I believe it is, hazy IPA. As soon as I opened this can, I could smell the hops wafting off of it. It's a Mosaic, Enigma, Amarillo, and Columbus hops. The Columbus gives it a nice bitterness. The other, I have not had Enigma hops before. Amarillo and Mosaic have a nice fruity note to them. So this is a nice little melange of different styles of hops in one can if you happen to be in Pittsburgh. Check out the Dancing Gnome Tasty Beers. So that is the bell time beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. On the other end is that Stunt Cali. The brand is that Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.